Pope, you can say mass in Latin right now on Pope Francis's latest comments on the Latin mass. For months since the feast of the apparition of Saint Michael, his election day, Pope Leo has been indirectly addressing the new iconoclasm, which is one of the non-negotiables of the Trad movement. Quoting from our article on that topic, number one of non-negotiables is, quote, "A traditionalist Catholic defends the Latin Mass and the other monuments of our forefathers against the new iconoclasm occasioned by Vatican II," end quote. Pope Leo has acted against the new iconoclasm indirectly by, one, celebrating Holy Mass, something Pope Francis did not do often. Number two, chanting his masses, Pope Francis did not sing. Number three, celebrating with a great amount of the Roman tongue, Latin, inside and outside the Roman Rite. Many of our readers by now have seen multiple videos of the Pope's flawless Latin chanting, which has lifted the heart of every Latin Rite traditionalist worldwide. Shortly after Pope Leo was elected, Diane Mantegna exposed the fact that the narrative surrounding the new iconoclasm of Pope Francis, Traditio Custodes, is all lies. We've reported on the fact that Cardinal Burke has spoken to His Holiness more than once. So even if, in his decades of priesthood in Peru, Pope Leo never thought much about the new iconoclasm in terms of the ancient Roman Rite, Cardinal Burke, rest assured, has brought all of our concerns to his attention. You can see the Meaning of Catholic Channel about an hour-long podcast about Father Prevost and Bishop Prevost's time in Peru, which is very significant and important. In fact, side notes, in this interview, he actually says he would root if Peru and the United States were playing in a soccer game, he would root for Peru, which is kind of a joke, but it also says a lot about his frame of mind and way he's going to approach the church, which is critically important. So go watch that podcast and think about Peru and what we're dealing with here. Okay. Now, probably as a result of those meetings, Cardinal Burke is now conspicuously celebrating the ancient Roman Rite in St. Peter's Basilica with Pope Leo's permission, explicit permission. At the same time, prominent bishops have spoken with their words or deeds, many with great force, for or against the rite of our forefathers. Meanwhile, Pope Leo confirmed an exception to Traditionis Custodes for a diocese in Texas, a request that had been made to Rome before Pope Francis died. And Pope Leo certainly would not have been unaware of the largest traditionalist event in Rome since he took office, the SSPX pilgrimage, which the Vatican newspeak tried to hush up, it seems. Now, for the first time, we have a direct comment from Pope Leo about the ancient Roman Rite and the new iconoclasm. These comments come as part of a larger interview His Holiness gave to Elise Allen, Anne Ellen of Crux. They've also posted a few snippets of the video on their channel, Crux Now. We're going to ignore the other issues for now and focus on what His Holiness said about the new iconoclasm. Quote, so Elise Ann Allen asks the question regarding the study group on the liturgy, and that's the study group for the synod, by the way. What is being studied? How much of the reason for establishing this was related to divisions surrounding the traditional Latin Mass, for example, or issues such as the new Amazonian Rite? His Holiness responds, my understanding of what the group came out of is primarily from issues that have to do with the acculturation of the liturgy. How to continue the process of making the liturgy more meaningful within a different culture, within a specific culture, in a specific place at a given time. I think that was the primary issue. There is another issue, which is also another hot button issue, which I have already received a number of requests and letters about. The question about people always say the Latin Mass. Well, you can say the Mass in Latin right now. If it's the Vatican II Rite, there's no problem. Obviously, between the Tridentine Mass and the Vatican II Mass, the Mass of Paul VI, I'm not sure where that's going to go. It's obviously very complicated. I do know that part of that issue, unfortunately, has become, again, part of a process of polarization. People have used the liturgy as an excuse for advancing their other topics. It's become a political tool, and that's very unfortunate. I think sometimes the, say, abuse of the liturgy from what we call Vatican II Mass was not helpful for people who were looking for a deeper experience of prayer, contact with the mystery of faith that they seemed to find in the celebration of the Tridentine Mass. Again, we've become polarized so that instead of being able to say, well, if we celebrate the Vatican II liturgy in a proper way, do you really find that much difference between this experience and that experience? I have not had the chance to really sit down with a group of people who are advocating for the Tridentine rite. There is an opportunity coming up soon, and I'm sure there will be occasions for that. But that is an issue that I think also, maybe with synodality, we have to sit down and talk about. It's become the kind of issue that's so polarized that people aren't willing to listen to one another, oftentimes. I've heard bishops talk to me, they've talked to me about that, where they say, we invited them to this and that, and they just won't even hear it. They don't even want to talk about it. That's a problem in itself. It means we're into ideology now. We're no longer into the experience of church communion. That's one of the issues on the agenda. End quote. So that all of that was what Pope Leo just said. That's what I just quoted. The Pope's reference to, again, polarization seems to go back to what he says earlier in this interview about the issue of the sodomy agenda. Now, quoting, so this is another quote from Pope Leo. I'm going to read another quote from Pope Leo from earlier in that same interview. Quote, I confess that the sodomy agenda, that's not on the back of my mind because, as we've seen at the Synod, any issue dealing with the LGBTQ questions is highly polarizing within the church. For now, because of what I've already tried to demonstrate and live out in terms of my understanding of being the Pope at this time in history, I'm trying not to continue to polarize or promote polarization in the church, end quote. These comments with another seem to imply that Pope Leo was consciously departing from the ways of making a mess from his predecessor. But note what the Holy Father said. Let's read that again, what he said. Quote, I think sometimes the, say, abuse of the liturgy from what we call the Vatican II Mass was not helpful for people who were looking for a deeper experience of prayer, of contact with the mystery of faith that they seemed to find in the celebration of the Tridentine Mass, end quote. In these words, it seems Pope Leo understands the traditionalist movement better than any other prelate I've heard, unless they are already leading and supporting the trad movement like Cardinal Burke or Bishop Schneider. Remember when Bishop Barron talked to Shia LaBeouf and the Catholic convert actor tried to explain to him why he felt drawn to the ancient Roman rite? Even though Bishop Barron had authored a preface on a book about the Latin Mass, that is, Liturgy and Personality by Trad Godfather Dietrich von Hildebrand, no Trad felt that Bishop Barron had really grasped what was at stake with the Latin Mass. Here, I feel like Pope Leo understands us. He's talking about contact with the mystery of faith. He's talking about a deeper experience of prayer. Even though he admits he's never really talked to us. What a breath of fresh air. Amazing. Is this the true universal pastor that cares about us for the first time in over a decade? Now, should Trads be concerned that His Holiness seems to be promoting the reform of the reform, i.e. the Revis Novus Ordo? No, I don't think so. I think what he says is true. For many souls who are currently in the Trad movement attending a Latin Mass, they probably never attended the rumored unicorn Novus Ordo. Why? Because the Reverend Novus Ordo in America and France and elsewhere seems to be even more hard to find than the Latin Mass. That's certainly my experience, and I invite my readers to confirm or contest my assertion. If many of these souls experiencing such a rare thing, well, for many who are in the Trad movement, I would bet that half of them would be fine with the Revis Novus Ordo because they are pious souls whose only care is the unum necessarium, a deeper experience of prayer. They're not going into a bunch of theological manuals and analyzing a bunch of Latin texts. That's not their goal. Their one goal is the unum necessarium, a deeper experience of prayer and contact with the mystery of faith. So they probably wouldn't notice these deeper things that we bring up as trads, even though those are very important. But the unum necessarium is even more important than that. In any case, This is all good news because Pope Leo is not standing and throwing stones at us. He has actually explicitly said he wants to listen, and he's going to listen at an actual event sometime soon. I would guess he's probably referring to the aforementioned Summorum Pontificum pilgrimage. I feel good about this, but let's talk practical. Every priest must buy a Latin Novus Ordo missal immediately and begin saying the Novus Ordo in Latin. You heard it straight from the horse's mouth, ladies and gentlemen. No bishop can stop you now. This, by the way, is how Pope Leo actually does it in Rome, using the Roman tongue. Hello, Cardinal Supich. Yeah, did you hear the news? We're going to switch all our masses to the Latin Novus Ordo. Thank you very much. We'd love for you to come over and have coffee with us before we do the prayers of Eucharistic reparation with our faces to the ground in penance for the crimes against his Eucharistic heart. Please join us, Your Eminence.